Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Shift with CJ podcast. Today, we're diving into something that's a little different from our usual topics, but just as crucial for your well-being, social interactions. Now, you might be thinking, what does making friends or being social have to do with my health? Well, it turns out, quite a lot. Let's kick things off by exploring why social connectedness is so important for longevity. There's this fascinating research coming out recently that shows how the quality of our relationships can actually be a bigger predictor of how long we live than things like genetics or even how much we exercise. Imagine that. It's not just about what you eat or how much you work out. Who you spend time with and how connected you feel to others can actually help you live a longer, healthier life. From an evolutionary standpoint, this makes total sense. Humans have always been social creatures. Think back to our ancestors. They survived by living in groups, hunting together, and protecting each other. Being isolated or cast out from the group was, in many ways, a death sentence. So, our brains are hardwired to crave connection, to seek out those bonds that make us feel secure and supported. But here's where it gets really interesting. This isn't just a modern discovery. The importance of social connections has been emphasized by various ancient cultures and wisdom traditions for thousands of years. Take Hinduism, for example. The concept of Sangha is deeply rooted in Hindu philosophy. Sangha refers to a community of like-minded individuals who come together to support each other on their spiritual and life journeys. It's believed that being part of a Sangha helps individuals grow, learn, and achieve their spiritual goals more effectively than they could on their own. This idea isn't just about spiritual growth, it's also about emotional and psychological well-being, which contributes to a longer, healthier life. Similarly, in Buddhism, the Sangha is one of the three jewels, alongside the Buddha and the Dharma. It emphasizes the importance of community in following the path to enlightenment. The collective support of a community is seen as essential for personal growth and resilience. If we look at ancient Greek philosophy, Aristotle famously said, "Man is by nature a social animal." He believed that a life of isolation was not just unnatural, but also detrimental to one's well-being. According to Aristotle, friendships and social bonds are key components of a fulfilled life, offering both moral guidance and emotional support. In Confucianism, the value of relationships is central to the philosophy. Confucius taught that the fabric of society is held together by the quality of relationships between individuals, particularly the relationships within families and communities. Harmony within these relationships was seen as crucial, not just for personal well-being, but for the health of society as a whole. Even in the indigenous cultures around the world, the concept of community and social connectedness has always been paramount. In many African cultures, the philosophy of Ubuntu, "I am because we are," emphasizes the interconnectedness of all people. This idea suggests that our humanity is tied to the humanity of others and that being part of a community is essential for our well-being. But here's the thing. While ancient wisdom has long emphasized the importance of community and connection, modern society often pushes us toward isolation. We see it in the way we live, work, and even communicate, and this shift has serious consequences. Loneliness is on the rise, and studies show it's not just bad for our mental health, it's physically harmful too. Chronic loneliness can increase your risk of heart disease, stroke, and even dementia. It's as harmful as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Isn't that mind-blowing? When we compare humans to other species, the impact of loneliness becomes even more evident. Take wolves, for example. They rely on their pack for survival. A lone wolf has a much lower chance of surviving compared to one in a pack. Similarly, elephants are incredibly social animals. They form tight-knit herds and support each other through tough times. When one of them is isolated, it affects their health and well-being dramatically. Now, imagine if humans started to experience the same level of isolation. What would happen if more and more people became lonely? In the next 5 years, we could see a rise in health issues, not just physically, but mentally as well. Increased rates of depression, anxiety, and even a decrease in life expectancy could be on the horizon if we don't take action. This is why today's episode is so important. I want to teach you how to go out there and make friends, how to be more social, and how to build those connections that not only enrich your life, but could also help you live longer and healthier. Whether you're an introvert or someone who's just been feeling a bit isolated lately, I'm going to share some practical tips that you can start using today to boost your social life and in turn your overall well-being. Now, let's start by talking about loneliness and why it's so bad for us. Loneliness isn't just a sad feeling, it can actually be harmful to your health. Scientists have compared loneliness to smoking 15 cigarettes a day in terms of its negative impact on your health. When people are lonely, they are more likely to experience depression, anxiety, and even heart disease. In contrast, other species, like wolves or dolphins, naturally live and work in groups, which helps them survive. Humans are similar in this way. We're not meant to be alone. Isolation can lead to a decline in both mental and physical health. Think about what happens when people become isolated. Over time, their social skills may weaken, they may lose interest in activities they once enjoyed, and their overall happiness decreases. If someone stays isolated for too long, it can even shorten their life. This is why it's so important to stay connected with others, whether it's family, friends, or even new acquaintances. So, what would happen if someone becomes isolated and lonely for a long time? Imagine a person who slowly withdraws from social activities and stops interacting with others. Over the next 5 years, this person might struggle with feelings of sadness, anxiety, and even physical illnesses. Their sleep could suffer, they might develop unhealthy habits, and their overall quality of life could decline. On the other hand, someone who stays socially connected is likely to experience the opposite. They'll have a support system to help them through tough times, they'll laugh more often, which is great for reducing stress, and they'll generally be happier and healthier. This brings us to the role of humor in social interactions. Laughter is like a superpower when it comes to connecting with others. It breaks the ice, makes people feel comfortable, and helps build strong relationships. Plus, it's really good for your health. Did you know that laughter releases feel-good hormones like endorphins and dopamine? These hormones make you feel happy and relaxed. Laughing also reduces stress by lowering levels of cortisol, the stress hormone in your body. But here's something interesting. According to a Gallup survey, adults laugh a lot less after the age of 23. That's because as we grow older, we become more serious, especially when we enter the workforce. This seriousness can lead to a decrease in the spontaneous laughter we enjoyed as kids. Now, have you ever felt nervous about talking to someone new? Maybe your hands get sweaty or you start overthinking what to say. You're not alone. Many people find it uncomfortable to initiate conversations with strangers, leading to awkward small talk or those dreaded silences. It's easy to stick with the friends you already have and avoid the challenge of meeting new people. But here's the thing. Expanding your social circle isn't just about making new friends. It can also improve your life in ways you might not expect, from boosting your health to opening doors to new opportunities. Dr. Lisa Berkman, a researcher at Harvard, studied 7,000 people over 9 years and found that those with few social connections were 3 times more likely to die from medical illnesses than those with strong social networks. This means that having friends and connections isn't just nice, it's vital for our well-being. But the benefits of socializing don't stop at health. Success in life, whether it's in your career, education, or personal relationships, often depends on the strength and reach of your social network. Think about it. Finding out about job opportunities, meeting potential partners, or even getting invited to exclusive events often happens because of who you know. Having a wide network of connections can open up all sorts of doors you might not even realize existed. So, how do you start building these valuable connections? The first step is to make a strong first impression. Whether you're meeting someone for the first time, at a party, in class, or at a family gathering, those initial moments are crucial. Believe it or not, people start forming opinions about you before you even say a word. Your body language, eye contact, and smile all send signals about who you are and whether you're approachable. To make a good impression, start with your posture. Stand or sit up straight with your shoulders relaxed and facing the person you're talking to. This shows that you're open and interested in what they have to say. Next, make eye contact. Looking someone in the eyes helps build trust, which is the foundation of any good conversation. Finally, smile. A warm, genuine smile can go a long way in making others feel comfortable and welcome. Once you've set the stage with your body language, it's time to break the ice. Keep it simple. A friendly hello or hi works just fine. Introduce yourself by name and ask for the other person's name. When they tell you, repeat it back to them to help remember it and show that you're paying attention. Another tip is to lean in slightly when talking to someone. This subtle gesture signals that you're genuinely interested in what they're saying. You can also shake hands if it's appropriate, but if not, just keep your hands relaxed by your sides. Once you've made a good first impression, the next step is to build rapport. Rapport is that feeling of connection and trust that makes conversations flow easily. It's easier to build rapport when you have something in common with the other person, like a shared hobby or interest. But what if you don't? This is where something called rapport by design comes into play. Rapport by design means intentionally creating a connection, even if it doesn't happen naturally at first. The key to doing this lies in your attitude. You can choose to have either a useful or a useless attitude during your interactions. A useful attitude focuses on what you want to achieve from the conversation, while a useless attitude focuses on what you want to avoid or what might go wrong. For example, imagine you're at an airport and your flight gets canceled. You could have a useless attitude and get angry, demanding to speak to a manager. Or you could have a useful attitude and calmly ask the staff for help in finding another flight. By keeping your end goal in mind, getting home as soon as possible, you're more likely to engage positively and get the help you need. Another important aspect of building rapport is your body language. Open body language, like uncrossed arms and a forward-facing posture, signals that you're ready to connect and engage with others. On the other hand, closed body language, like crossed arms or turning away, can make you seem defensive or uninterested. Facial expressions also play a big role in how others perceive you. An open, friendly face with a smile and direct eye contact invites others to approach and talk to you. A closed-off face with a frown or little eye contact can make you seem unapproachable. To build trust and likability, make sure your body language, facial expressions, and words are all in sync. This consistency makes you seem more genuine and trustworthy. For example, if you say you're happy to meet someone but don't make eye contact or smile, your words might not seem believable. By aligning your body language with your words, you create a more positive and convincing impression. One technique that can help you build rapport quickly is called mirroring. Mirroring is when you subtly mimic the other person's body language, facial expressions, or even their tone of voice. This isn't about copying them exactly. It's about creating a sense of harmony and connection. For example, if the person you're talking to is speaking softly, you might lower your voice a bit too. If they're using a lot of hand gestures, you could do the same, but in a natural way. Mirroring helps the other person feel more comfortable and understood, which can strengthen your connection. Research shows that people naturally gravitate towards others who are similar to them. By mirroring, you're tapping into this instinctive behavior, making it easier to build rapport and establish a connection. A big part of connecting with others is knowing how to keep the conversation going. This is where asking the right questions and being a good listener comes in. There are two main types of questions you can ask: open and closed questions. Open questions encourage the other person to share more information and keep the conversation flowing. These questions often start with words like what, how, or why. For example, instead of asking, "Did you like the movie?" which can be answered with a simple yes or no, you could ask, "What did you think of the movie?" This invites the other person to share their thoughts and feelings, giving you more to talk about. Closed questions, on the other hand, are more likely to lead to short one-word answers, which can make the conversation feel stilted. While they can be useful in some situations, relying too much on closed questions can make it harder to build a connection. Listening is just as important as asking questions. Active listening means really paying attention to what the other person is saying, not just waiting for your turn to talk. Show that you're listening by making eye contact, nodding, and responding thoughtfully to what they share. This not only keeps the conversation going, but also makes the other person feel valued and understood. Did you know that people experience the world in different ways? Some people are more visual, meaning they think in pictures and are drawn to how things look. Others are more auditory, meaning they focus on sounds and how things are said. And some people are more kinesthetic, meaning they pay more attention to how things feel. Understanding someone's sensory preference can help you connect with them better. For example, if you're talking to someone who is very visual, you might use more descriptive language like, "I see what you mean," or "That looks great." If someone is more auditory, you could focus on how things sound, like, "That sounds like a good idea." For kinesthetic people, you might use phrases like, "That feels right," or "I get a sense of what you're saying." You can often tell what someone's sensory preference is by the words they use and how they react to different situations. By paying attention to these clues, you can tailor your communication style to match theirs, making it easier to build rapport. So, how can you become more social and improve your life? Here are some practical tips. Start small. If you're nervous about meeting new people, start with small interactions. Smile at someone in the hallway, say hello to a classmate, or ask a simple question like, "How was your weekend?" These small steps can help you build confidence. Be open. When you meet someone new, use open body language. Stand with your heart facing them, make eye contact, and smile. This shows that you're approachable and interested in connecting. Ask questions. Keep conversations going by asking open-ended questions. Instead of just asking, "Do you like this?" try asking, "What do you think about this?" This encourages the other person to share more and keeps the conversation flowing. Use humor. Don't be afraid to inject humor into your interactions. It doesn't have to be a big joke. Even a lighthearted comment can make a conversation more enjoyable. Remember, humor is about making others feel good, not just being funny. Be consistent. Make an effort to stay in touch with people you meet. Whether it's sending a quick text, making plans to hang out, or even just liking their posts on social media, staying connected helps strengthen your relationships. Join groups, whether it's a club, a sports team, or an online community. Joining groups where you can meet like-minded people is a great way to expand your social network. And finally, practice active listening. When someone is talking, really listen to what they're saying. Nod, smile, and respond thoughtfully. This shows that you care about what they're sharing and helps build trust. Finally, remember that first impressions matter. You often only have a short window of time, about 90 seconds, to make a positive impact on someone new. Use that time wisely by being open, friendly, and engaged. Show genuine interest in the other person and make them feel comfortable and valued. In today's podcast, we've explored the importance of social connections and how they can impact your health, success, and overall happiness. We've also talked about the dangers of loneliness and why it's so important to stay connected with others. Remember, being social doesn't mean you have to be the life of the party. It's about building meaningful relationships, being open to new connections, and using humor to make life a little lighter. So, as you go out there today, I encourage you to take small steps to connect with others, use humor to brighten someone's day, and remember that these connections are not just nice to have, they're essential for a long, happy, and healthy life. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Shift with CJ. Stay curious, stay connected, and keep laughing.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.